From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. As always, I'm Justin Spears, and man, it has been way too long since we've done a podcast with the one and only Dominic Pacheco. Dom, what's going on, my man?
Way too long. I barely remember how to speak into this microphone. It's been so long.
Got a new setup.
Nice to be back.
Got a new setup.
Hope it sounds better. Everyone's heard this before. We've been doing football podcasts a few times a week, so... No, it's good to be back, and time to talk basketball. It only means one thing.
I was going to say, if Dominic's on the podcast, you know we're only talking about one thing.
Must be basketball season.
So Arizona Wildcats, by the way, before we get into the dirty work, if you want to listen to this podcast, you can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, or you can download the Wildcaster app. It's free. It's available on the App Store and Google Play. You know, Michael Lev put an interesting twist to our promotion for this app. You don't have to subscribe to the Arizona Daily Star. You know, people spend actual money to get our content. You don't have to spend a dime. You just download the app, and everything you need about the Arizona Wildcats is right there at your fingertips.
Just a couple of button pushes with your finger on your phone. It's good. You know, going to the App Store.
It's awesome.
Instead of downloading Angry Birds or you know, whatever apps people are playing nowadays, just download the Wildcaster.
So, Dom, like you said, you're on this podcast, which means college basketball season is around the corner.
It's here.
The Arizona Wildcats this week had media day. And Dom, we were both at the press conference. And, you know, was it just me or did Sean Miller, by the way, did he seem exhausted? It just seemed like he was already worn down and wasn't even the start of the season. He still answered questions like he normally does, but it just seemed like he wasn't as excited. And usually... for media days or any press conferences, he always does the, well, first off, I want to start by, you know, and then he goes on for about 3 minutes talking about how good his teammate or how good his team is, how good the players on roster is, what he's excited about. He just sat down, looked at everybody and said, questions.
That was the most awkward part of the whole thing, if you ask me. He walked in, sat down, and felt like 5 minutes, but there was silence for probably what was 30 seconds, and no one said anything. He didn't say anything. He just kind of looked at us, was waiting for us to ask questions, and then we jumped in. But yeah, I mean, that even goes back to last year. I mean, the end of last year, especially the latter half in Pac-12 play and down the stretch, you could tell everything's kind of wearing on him. I mean, he has all of the pressure of a regular season and recruiting. And keep in mind, at this point last year, or at the end of last year, he didn't have any recruits. So he had that stress weighing on him.
Yeah.
And I mean, this guy's got a lot on his mind, even now. I mean, he's been, and we talked about it during the press conference with him a little bit about how he's been out on the road recruiting for the last few months. I mean, the entire offseason. We look at it as the offseason. Sean Miller didn't have one. I mean, he was on the road recruiting.
That's a good point.
You saw him almost what seemed like every week. I mean, he was on the road. So he's a busy dude. And, I mean, he's got a lot of extra stuff on his mind, I'm sure. But he's hard at work, too. And he did sound excited for the season, as they all did. I mean, they're hungry. You hear Justin Coleman say that a lot. They're hungry. They're ready to go. And it's just another season for them.
So looking at Arizona's roster for this year, there's still talent on the team. Technically, you could say they have a McDonald's All-American because Chase Jeter was a McDonald's All-American. And although he went to Duke before coming to Arizona. But this year's recruiting class, the most high-profile or highly ranked recruit is Brandon Williams. And it's weird seeing a four-star point guard as Arizona's top recruit. I mean, if we're sitting here talking about football, four-star recruits, that's like, Arizona had a great year recruiting. But for basketball, when your best recruit is a four-star guy, I mean...
Especially at Arizona.
Yeah, at Arizona. For Arizona basketball, I can't even remember a recruiting class where Sean Miller didn't bring in a big-time guy, maybe since... like the 2011 recruiting class or something like that, or the 2010 class when he had, I think his best recruit was Daniel Bayarano, and that's a heck of a name. He didn't even pan out at U of A. That's how awful that recruiting class was. And his second best recruit, I believe, was Jordan Mays.
Right.
So that goes to show you.
And we all know how that panned out.
I mean, he had a four-year career, but it wasn't. It seemed like Jordan Mays digressed.
He was Jordan Mays. I always put him in the same category, and maybe this is unfair because Mays was here for 4 years. But I always look at him in the same category as Angelo Choll. People didn't really, people didn't really cheer for them. Like when they came on the court, people went crazy for Angelo Choll. But it was because why? I mean, it's not like Angelo Choll ever did anything great, and he transferred after what, 2 years?
Yeah.
So,
well, he was a big time recruit as well. He was a four-star guy.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, so was Jordan Mays. I mean, he was that caliber guy. Yeah. And never really did anything. One thing that is interesting about this year's roster, Justin, that you and I haven't talked about yet.
That they lose everybody.
Is that they did lose everybody, correct. But for the first time in at least, I'd have to go back and look how long it's been, but for at least the last 4 years, there is no seven-footer on the roster.
Wow.
No seven-footer on the roster. Think about it. Last year, they had 2 seven-footers on the roster almost at all times.
Yeah.
And if not, at least one on the court. They have no seven-footers this year.
Well, they had 2 on the court with Ayton and
Right, right. Yeah,
Ristic,
with
Ayton
and Ristic,
crazy.
2 on the court at most times last year. So no seven-footers this year. What's interesting about that, though, is you think you need success. You need seven-footers to have success in college basketball. You don't. As Bruce Pascoe pointed out, they were 83rd in national defensive efficiency last year with 2 seven-footers on the court. So doesn't necessarily translate to success. It helps. I'm sure they'll miss Dusan Ristic and DeAndre Ayton very much. Their presence, their absence will be felt heavily. But you get guys like Chase Jeter in there who I think, I mean, standing next to Chase Jeter yesterday, that guy is he is a beast. He is big. He's 6'10".
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6'10", but he is, I mean...
He's not like a dangling 6'10 either.
He's big.
He's 235 on the roster.
He's big. So look, no seven footers. I don't think it's a problem. It's just interesting to see because, I mean, they've had seven footers for as long as I can remember, at least the last 4 years, like I said. So no seven footers this year. Chase Jeter is going to kind of, I mean, he's going to be the guy in the middle who they're going to have to kind of rely on to be the anchor of the offense and the defense, really. I mean, I think Chase Jeter's their guy this year.
Sean Miller announced in that press conference that the team captains this year are Chase Jeter and Justin Coleman, both transfers. Coleman is a grad transfer, who's a point guard. He first started off his collegiate career at Alabama and then went to Samford in Alabama, and then Chase Jeter, we all know his story, high-profile recruit out of Las Vegas, went to Duke at first, and then obviously things didn't work out, and ended up back at Arizona. And we talked to him yesterday. It was down between Duke and Arizona to land him, and things didn't work out there in Durham. Comes to Arizona, and, you know, I think he's the X factor this year for the Arizona Wildcats.
I think they're going to go as far as he takes them. I think he's their most talented player. I think when you look at draft prospects, I think he's Arizona's best shot to get a draft pick this year. And that's not to say they don't have more talent. This is a very talented team in a different way than in years past because, like you said, they don't have all those five-star guys who are expected to be this good. But they got a lot of sneaky good players. I mean, Justin Coleman's another guy who can do a lot of things. The whole team's really high on him.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be really important. The one thing that's interesting with Justin Coleman is there is kind of, again, we talked about this a lot yesterday with the players and with Coach Miller. The one thing that's different about this team this year, the first thing you think about is their depth in guards.
Yeah.
They got a lot of point guards. They got a lot of guys who can kind of stretch the floor. A lot of their point guards aren't necessarily true point guards. They can play shooting guard. They can stretch to a three if they need to. Justin Coleman is not that guy. Sean Miller was very explicit yesterday in saying that when Justin Coleman is on the court, he is the point guard.
Yeah.
And, you know, a week ago, we probably could have sat here and talked about, well, who's their starting point guard going to be? Now that Justin Coleman's the captain, I think it's safe to pencil him in as the starting point guard. Again, we don't know. They have 3 viable candidates in Alex Barcelo, Brandon Williams, and Justin Coleman. But since he's the captain, I think you're going to see a lot of playing time from him out of the gates. But again, they got, I mean, Barcelo, everybody, which I was surprised about, everybody was really high on Barcelo as a shooter, which... We all knew, but I mean, Sean Miller called him the best shooter on the team.
Yeah.
And all the players we talked to echoed that same statement. So they're high on Alex Barcelo. Look for him to shoot the ball, but I see that coming off the bench more. I mean, again, they're deep at guard, so they can afford that.
It seems like the one guard that a lot of Arizona fans are really high on is Brandon Williams. I mean, we were on the Facebook Live yesterday, and everybody was like, show us Brandon Williams. Give us Brandon Williams.
It's the first guy we talked to, everybody, is Brandon Williams. We know you want to see him. Everyone's huge on Brandon Williams, and I think that's because he's the guy. I mean, he's the recruit that they brought in. He's in a normal year, you know, with the exception of Chase Jeter. If Chase Jeter wasn't here, Brandon Williams would be the guy.
Yeah.
Similar to how Ayton was last year, or how, you know, Raleigh Hawkins and Alonzo Trier have been in past years. He's the guy that Arizona would lean to.
Sean Miller talked about Brandon Williams and how he envisions his role and how the guards will pan out. Let's go ahead and hear from Sean Miller.
We play a freshman. We were always going to play him at more than one position, and that's still the case. He could play the one, he could play the two, he could be a part of three guards. You know, when we had maybe our best team that I've been a part of at Arizona, sometimes you don't realize how many minutes Gabe York, Nick Johnson, and TJ McConnell played together. You know, looking back at that season, some of our best moments, and when it was the moments of truth late in games, deep into the season, those three guys were on the court a lot together. And that's kind of the route we're moving, not only this year, but beyond. And I think Brandon is the type of player that can really thrive in that system.
So, yeah, I mean, Sean Miller said it right there. You know, he's a guy that's going to be playing multiple guard positions, kind of like Gabe York did. He could play
even Nick Johnson.
One, two, and Nick Johnson. You know, I remember when Nick Johnson first got to campus, and when he was a freshman, he was a part of that same class with Josiah Turner. And we all know what happened with Josiah Turner. He was going through a lot of off-the-court issues, and it got to the point where Miller was forced to put Nick Johnson at point guard. And he got some experience at point guard, and then he finally got a true point guard in one that they call Timothy John McConnell, a.k.a. TJ McConnell.
Timothy John. You pulled out the Timothy John on the podcast. You were saving that one, weren't you?
But yeah, I mean, you know, Dom, you said this off the podcast, and it really got my mind thinking. You know, you could also, I think at the end of the season, this Arizona team, the lineup that's going to be the go-to lineup, the one that you will expect to see in March, will be Justin Coleman at point guard, Brandon Williams at the two. And, you know, the small forward is kind of up in the air. You can either go Dylan Smith, because when Raleigh was hurt, Dylan Smith stepped in for him last year. And, or you can even go Emmanuel Acott, because he's this 6'7 wing who's allegedly is a good defender. We didn't really see that much last year, but he could do something. And Sean Miller even said in the press conference that Acott is arguably the team's best passer. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I think we can agree the front court is going to be Pitt grad transfer Ryan Luther at the power forward, and then Chase Jeter at center, which then leaves, you know, guys like Brandon Randolph and Alex Barcelo. They can come off the bench. Or, I mean, you can even do a situation where you can put in Alex Barcelo and have Brandon Williams get his dose of point guard. So you have Alex Barcelo be kind of that spot-up shooter, and then you can even mix in Brandon Randolph at the three, or you can just have him at the two, and then you can, when Brandon Williams gets off the court, put Barcelo at point, put Brandon Williams at two, and then Acott back at three, or Dylan Smith at three. It's just like, you can do so many different lineups right now with so this many. Backcourt.
And you got Tielemans too, don't forget about him.
Oh, jeez.
No, I know. I mean, there's a lot of guys who can play the wings.
Wing.
Yeah, I mean, wings, am I right?
Wings.
What are we, Buffalo Wild Wings? B-dubs. We got to get a sponsor from B-dubs in here.
I know.
Talking about wings so much. Look, they got a lot of guys who can play a lot of positions. You got Devonair Dutry, who's another guy who can play two and stretch to a three. I mean, they are loaded with depth this year, which I think is different from years past. You usually have a lot of five-star talent who are top-heavy. You can name the five starters before the season starts. Right now, I don't think you can do that because they're so deep. And even if you can sit here and name the five starters for me, you got guys like Dutry and Dylan Smith and Brandon Randolph. And, I mean, Ryan Luther is going to be in the mix, obviously, probably starting. You got Tielemans, Barcelo, Acott. I mean, you got all these guys who can play multiple positions for them.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of mixes them all together. The one thing I want to talk about in the kind of group of players we just talked about with wings, is Emmanuel Acott.
Yeah.
I asked Sean, it was interesting because Sean Miller last year, Akot, of course, had to deal with some tendonitis all year, and he wasn't necessarily 100%. He wasn't himself. We didn't really get to see that defensive side that Sean Miller really talked up all year. Every time we talked to Miller about Akot, it was his tendonitis and how good of a defender he was. And yesterday in the press conference, I asked Miller about Akot and how he's kind of progressed from that player last year, and if he still is that defensive juggernaut that they wanted him to be last year. And Miller's answer kind of surprised me and made me wonder what Akot's role in the lineup is going to be this year. Miller said something along the lines of, we're still trying to figure out his role on the team. And not even in a bad way. Those weren't his exact words. I don't want to try to make you think he's saying anything negative about Akot, but he was, I don't know, to me, it came off as we're still trying to piece him in and figure out where he is in the rotation, which is interesting to me because last year was all about defense. And I essentially pitched him a question, is he still the same defensive guy he was last year?
Yeah.
And we didn't necessarily get the same answer. So I'm interested to see where Akot fits in this year. If he is that lockdown defender, that's going to be huge for them, especially if you have guys like Barcelo shooting the ball as well as they all say he can now. I think it'll be huge for them to have that kind of lockdown defender that they've been missing for the last few years. Again, I think that's what we all want to know is who's good. You know, it's a Sean Miller team. They're going to be defensive for however many good shooters they have. They're still going to be defensive minded. And I think it's going to be Akot's going to be the guy, but I don't know. It'll be Miller yesterday was kind of hesitant on it. And I'll be interested to see, see where Akot stacks up when the year starts.
A lot of people forget Akot was originally supposed to be part of the 2018 recruiting class. Mm-hmm. And then he reclassified Canadians, eh? they're able to, reclassify because their schooling system is a little bit different. So their ability to reclassify is much easier, mm-hmm. Than ones that are in America. But Akot, he was supposed to be part of the 2018 class. He reclassified because he wanted to get an extra year under his belt. I mean, he's still young. He's supposed to be a freshman this year, and he's now a sophomore. And, you know, a lot of players in past, that jump from freshman year to sophomore year, it's huge. It's important. And Sean Miller expressed that a lot in that Monday press conference because, you know, Brandon Randolph, Emmanuel Akot, Alex Barcelo, who am I forgetting? Oh, Ira Lee is another one. You know, they all were expected to have big roles last year, and They did have some role. They were supporting roles. Now you can expect to see them more have a huge role or a more essential role. They're not going to be the supporting cast members. That's the thing about this year's team is like, it seemed like last year's squad, it was the starting five and then everybody else.
Exactly.
Where this year, it's like, there's no alpha dog whatsoever.
Yep, and they're so deep. And like I said, so many people can play so many positions. So it's up to Sean Miller.
Including
Akot. So it's up to Sean Miller to piece them all together. Another guy that you can throw on that list, Justin, is kind of second-year guys, is Dylan Smith.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a redshirt junior, but it's his second year in the Arizona. Well, I guess it's his third year, but it'll be his second year on the court after he transferred from UNC Asheville, had to sit out the 16-17 season, and played last year, but didn't really mold into the kind of role we expected him to. But look, the kid can shoot. He's going to be a valuable piece down the stretch. He can play two. He can stretch to three, as it seems every guard on this team can. So it'll be interesting.
Emmanuel Akot is a weird fellow. Were you there when we were talking about his favorite movies yesterday?
I didn't get to talk to Emmanuel yesterday.
Let me play you this clip real
Enlighten
quick.
Enlighten me.
The Cat in the Hat.
We asked him what his favorite movie is.
Yeah, I did see your tweet on that.
Favorite movie, The Cat in the Hat. Yeah, the one with the real people.
Okay.
It's a funny movie. A lot of people don't understand how funny the movie is. I recommend everyone to watch it.
Which, by the way, have you seen the live action Cat in the Hat? I didn't even know there was a live action Cat in the Hat.
With the Mike Myers?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I knew that. I'm looking at 2003, so maybe I've seen it. It was just a long time ago. I mean, when I saw that, because I saw your tweet on it, I saw that video, and I go, live action Cat in the Hat. Like, am I missing something? Is that new? But bizarre fellow. I mean,
I was so taken aback. I was thinking,
are you messing with me right now, Akot?
Cat in the
Cat in the Hat.
Canadians.
So
eh?
We were asking people about, you know, their favorite inspirational movies, their favorite sports movies, and they gave you all the typical answers you would you would guess.
Yeah.
You know? And then we get Cat in the Hat, and I wish I was there for that, because that is absolute, that's gold. I mean, that's gold. I mean, it's got to be. Look, if they go deep in the tournament and they're doing features on these guys, Cat in the Hat has to come up. It has to be. You know, in the Little League World Series where they do like favorite, whatever, like favorite player, favorite, you know, food or whatever. His would be favorite movie, Cat in the Hat. It's got to be on some graphic, ESPN, Pac-12. Someone's got to have Cat in the Hat as his favorite movie this year. We got to make that widely known, because it just doesn't make sense to me.
I think we should get Ryan Lopez to make a graphic of like a Cat in the Hat cover.
Everything we can.
Put
the. Yep, exactly. He needs to be one of the characters.
Another key piece to Arizona this season is Ira Lee, who was cited last month for driving under the influence of super extreme DUI. Never thought that was such a thing until
it sounds like
I
a joke.
Report.
Yeah, we write it all the time, and people laugh and go, "Super extreme DUI, is that even a thing?" Or like, "Are we just making up saying it was super extreme?" No, it's a real
thing. We're being dramatic.
In the state of Arizona, super extreme DUI is a real thing. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, good. You know, Ira Lee. We asked him about that yesterday, what he learned from that experience, and how Sean Miller and his teammates kind of rallied around him. This is what he had to say.
Honestly, the whole experience made me stronger mentally, made me more focused on myself as a person, and also the team. I think it made the team closer. You know, they all rallied in for me. They took care of me. You know, they called me every day. I mean, we do everything together. So, you know, it's just, we're already close to begin with, but I think it made us even closer.
I mean, I'm sure Coach Miller was upset, but at the same time, very supportive of you. What was his response like?
Definitely. I mean, I came here because I had a good relationship with Coach Miller, and honestly, this past month has just proved to me, like, why he's such a good coach and why he's such a good guy. You know, he's been really supportive. Honestly, he's been more focused on my mental state than basketball, and so, yeah.
That's a really good sign, you know?
I thought it was a great answer.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he said exactly what he was supposed to say. I think what it boils down to, I really is not a bad kid. He seems like a really good kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders for the most part. Obviously, he just had a really bad day. His grandma died the day before, and it was just, it sounded like the perfect storm for him. I mean, you know, your grandma dies, you go out, drink a little bit too much, then you get in your car and try to drive home. I mean, it's not something that's reoccurring. It's not like he has a drinking problem that we know of. Of course, he's a little down on himself these days. But look, he's just got a lot going on like everyone else does. And he's in the limelight, a national spotlight on him. And I think he just had a bad day, really bad night. And I think he's going to bounce back. I think he'll be fine this year. I think he's going to contribute big minutes for the Wildcats. But no, that answer and talking to him yesterday, I mean, he seems to be, to me, and again, I didn't talk to him, obviously, in August when all his DUI was falling out, but he seemed to be in a lot better place now than he would have been a couple months ago, if that makes sense. I don't know if you got that.
Yeah.
I mean, just talking to him, he was smiling, he was laughing a little bit, and he gave the right answer. I mean, I thought that was, I mean, he couldn't have said any of that better. I mean,
totally.
Right. I mean, we asked him about, you know, what Sean Miller said to him, and I mean, he was very straightforward about it all. So I was impressed with Ira Lee, and I think he's going to be big for Arizona this year.
When Miller said, you know, I have kids myself, and they make mistakes sometimes. You know, you have a lot of guys that come over and you want them to be a part of your lives, and sometimes they make mistakes. You know, everybody makes mistakes. Not everybody is perfect. Ira Lee made a bonehead decision.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
But,
yeah, we're not trying to justify a DUI.
Yeah,
I mean, he screwed up big time.
Big time. But Dom, you have his court date, correct? Because he still has to go through a whole thing. I think he faces a minimum of 3 days in jail, which, I mean, it is jail. I mean, I can't even imagine spending 3 days in jail. But at the same time, you know, Ira Lee owned up to it. He said in that clip that we just played, he accepts full responsibility. He's just ready to get this over with so he can just focus completely on basketball school. Bruce Pascoe wrote a story on that after Media Day. By the way, you should go check it out on wildcaster2zone.com.
So he has a case management hearing on October 19th that he's due for. That's the next thing coming up. But yeah, he's facing time in prison in a few days and house arrest, which he will have an ankle bracelet on. He can still play on the team if that's the case. Justin, you were telling me someone in the NBA had an ankle bracelet on.
Lakers, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I never saw that. He actually had an ankle bracelet. Can you see it when he's on the court?
It was like his socks were underneath it. So
really,
yeah, I thought he would have
put the socks over it
to kind of hide it, but no, he was like owning it, and he couldn't even leave. He couldn't even go on away games.
Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, the jury's still out on Ira Lee, no pun intended there. But look, you don't know. We don't know what the ramifications are going to be legally or from a U of A standpoint. Arizona told us in August when this all happened, released a statement on the 21st, 2 days after, saying that they were reviewing it. They were aware of it. We haven't heard anything from them since then. So they're you probably won't until he goes through his trial and goes through court. But, you know, it's one of those things where, and Bruce Pascoe and Caitlin Schmidt, by the way, have done a really good job reporting on this. Bruce talked to a few lawyers who said they would expect his sentence not to be the extreme, not to be the days in prison or prison, not the days in jail and however many days of house arrest because of the discrepancy in his two breathalyzer tests. I can't remember what the first one was, but he had a 215 and another reading.
Yeah.
That was like 0.19 or something, yeah. Or something under two. So, a lot of lawyers were saying the discrepancy there, could get his sentencing down a little bit and have, you know, a prosecutor be a little bit more lenient, when he heads in there. But again, we don't know. If he misses time, it's not going to be significant. I would guess, you know, if the U of A suspends him, disciplines him, which I expect there'd be something. I mean, whether it's a game or, you know, whatever it may be, I would expect Arizona to come out and do something. But it's not going to be major. It's going to be, you know, games against Houston Baptist or, you know, whoever it might be against.
Yeah.
Maryland, Baltimore County, shout out Virginia. but look, I mean,
go Retrievers.
This kid's not going to miss a lot of time. He's going to be okay. He's going to be back on the floor. And like I said, it seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. It seems like he's getting his mind right now, and he's in a better place now than he was in August. Again, that's just my observation. I could be entirely wrong on all of that. But I think he'll be okay. And I think he's, like I said, I think he's going to have an impact for the Wildcats this year, even if he's forced to sit out a few games at the beginning of the year.
Real quick, Dom, because we only have a couple minutes left. Mm-hmm. So Adam Zagoria is out there in New York working for us. He's a big time hoops insider, you know, not only in the college basketball scene, but, you know, he dabbles with the NBA a little bit as well. He's our correspondent out there in New York covering the federal trials, involved with corruption in college basketball.
Specifically,
and Adidas.
Think of these as the Adidas cases that are all going on reading about. It's all Adidas. It's not necessarily directly into Arizona or any program. It's the Adidas reps.
Jim Gatto, the Adidas executive, his attorney said on Tuesday that Nasir Little, who is a five-star player, part of the 2018 class, ended up going to North Carolina. Nasir Little was in this bidding war. He was in the crosshairs of this bidding war between Miami and Arizona, which was interesting because this is an Adidas case. Arizona's a Nike school. I did not expect Arizona's name to be brought up for quite some time. And they said that Arizona was the attorney, according to Gatto's attorney, that Arizona was or was going to be prepared to offer Nasir Little $150,000 to attend Arizona. And then Miami, being an Adidas school, they were constantly going back and forth. It's just weird, you know, that these high profile recruits are just getting auctioned off. Or, I mean, they have a choice of where they're going, but at the same time, it's like, oh, this brand is offering you this money, but this brand is offering you this money. I mean, you don't even have to look at the schools. It's all about brands and sneakers. The story on Tucson.com that Adam Zagoria wrote for it, the headline says sneaker wars.
Sneaker wars.
In quotes. Dom, how do you process all of this? It's just so crazy. I know, you know, there's not too much to talk about because it's more of he said, she said kind of thing. You know, this attorney says this, trying to throw a stink bomb towards Arizona. But man, this is crazy. And it just feels like it is just getting started because the trial has only been going for a couple of days and already two recruits have been brought up. Nasir Little and Brian Bowen. And I just feel like the more that the days progress, the more we're going to start hearing more and more stuff come out.
I just want to read this quote from Zecoria's story up on Tucson.com, the Wildcaster right now. Again, just echoing what Justin said. This was, so Gatto is the Adidas rep, and his attorney today said that Gatto was told Arizona, quote, was told Arizona was going to pay or had offered to pay Nasir Little $150,000 if he went to Arizona. Gatto was asked to level the playing field so Nasir could go to Miami, an Adidas school. That's the interesting part. Arizona's not an Adidas school. Miami is. So it sounds like they were trying to push him there. Again, you hit the nail on the, head, Justin. It's all he said, she said. We don't know anything. We're not going to for the foreseeable future, but it's just a mess. I mean, there's not enough information out there for us to make educated guesses about this, and we're not in a position to do that. But it's just, I mean, you don't know. How Arizona's came up this early is baffling. I mean, if they were prepared to or had offered him $150,000, obviously that's a discrepancy that needs to get figured out. And, I mean, Miami's obviously involved if they're the Adidas school here. Oregon was also said to be in that bidding war. I don't know if you mentioned them, Justin.
Yeah, with Brian Bowen.
Yeah, okay, yeah, with Bowen. So, again, there's all these schools. It's a big convoluted mess that they're trying to sift through, and it's just, I mean, it's hard to process all. You're right.
Mm. Man, it's crazy. Just,
It's the Adidas trial too. They're not even getting into the bulk of it. I mean, Buck Richardson hasn't got on trial yet. There's not even close to being in. Mm. I mean, we're barely starting. We're barely starting this entire thing. And I mean, all these schools are already coming up: Miami, Oregon, Arizona. I mean, it's going to be wild. I mean, it'll be crazy to see where we are a year from now doing this podcast to kick off the year after Media Day.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what kind of trials are going to be going on then? Who knows? But, it's just a big, it's a big cluster of information right now that they need to sift through.
It's a big poop show.
That's a poop show. Exactly. I was going to say cluster followed by an expletive that I had to try to think of another word. I just went with cluster anyway. It's a big cluster. It's a cluster of information that we don't really have answers on. Again, I mean, even with Arizona in this, they had offered Nasir Little $150,000, or they were prepared to offer him $150,000. To me, that's a big discrepancy, at least in the case of Arizona. And again, that's not who's on trial here. No one's going to get prosecuted from Arizona in this. It's the Adidas reps. Mm-hmm. But they're getting brought up, and they're going to be involved in all these cases one way or another, whether they're being prosecuted, whether it's Buck Richardson, no matter who it is, Arizona's heavily involved. So bottom line is we don't have a lot of information. There's a lot still to happen. You have Manush Sood, who is one of the two men who was alleged to have paid Buck Richardson $20,000. He just recently pleaded guilty. So you have his trial coming up. You have Buck Richardson. So there's a lot of information, a lot of Arizona-related cases still to come.
Deshaun Miller, will he talk about any of this year? No.
Absolutely not.
Reference that statement that he made last year.
Statement. Yep, exactly.
And if you ask him again, he's going to say, same answer.
Right back to the statement.
Right back. God dang it.
How'd you say it, Justin?
I made a statement last year. You need to reference that. Same answer.
Justin has a lot of good impressions here. It's not just Sean Miller. I know he was doing Shaq earlier. He's got a really good Bill Walton.
The Bill Walton one. That's my favorite one.
That's my favorite.
Oh, it's the Wildcast podcast. I'm here with Dominic Pacheco, the greatest at the Arizona Daily Star.
I've said it before. I don't know why we have ever tried to get guests on the show. Justin could just do them all. Sit here and interview as if you were Bill Walton.
Well, I think that will do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. Dominic Pacheco, you are stellar. You are fantastic. Justin Spears, fantastic guy. Love him. Oh, he is the golden standard for podcasting with the Wildcast podcast. You and Dom, you are fantastic together.
Thanks,
great
Bill.
Team.
Thanks, Bill.
Absolutely. Well, that will do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast, the official pod for the Conference of Champions. You can download this podcast on the Wildcaster app, available on the App Store and Google Play. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Dom, I am Bill Walton. You are listening to the Wildcast podcast. Thanks for listening.
I'm weak.